You greetings from Beeson Divinity School, which I represent. Of course, I'm on the faculty there, and also from Samford University in Birmingham, because Beeson is part of that university. I can't help thinking that every academic institution has something to boast of. My own alma mater is Trinity College, Cambridge, and at Trinity we used to boast that we had more Nobel Prize winners in the fellowship there than there were in the whole of France. Not that there are many in France, but still. Samford can't, I'm afraid, say that, but we can say that we have Miss America for this year, which is an achievement of a kind, I suppose. I was rather hoping that she would be able to come this morning, but I'm afraid her timetable wouldn't permit and you've got stuck with the runner-up instead. But there we are. I want to ask you a question this morning to think about as I talk to you, and that is perhaps one that nobody's ever asked you before. And the question is, how many people are there in the world who really care about you? It's a good exercise, I think, to sit down and think to yourself, well, how many people are there out there who would really be disturbed if I were suddenly to disappear? If I got lost, you know, who would be worried about this? To make a list of those people that you think really would care about you to that degree, and to thank God every day for them. And the reason I say this is that in the world in which we live today, there are fewer and fewer people who are confident that there is anybody out there who really cares about them. Now, I like to think that in a Christian institution, we're a little bit better than the world outside. But you know, every once in a while, I find myself talking to somebody and I say to them something like, why don't you go and talk to Dr. So-and-so about that? He would be able to help you. And the reply comes back, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so doesn't know who I am. Dr. So-and-so could not care less about me or who, what I'm doing or where I'm going or anything. He doesn't know my name. Now, that may be an exaggeration. It may not be true, for all I know. But the fact is that there are people out there who think this way, who say this kind of thing, and it demonstrates that deep down inside, these poor people are not really convinced that the people they work with, the people they work for very often, really do not care very much about them, really are not interested, really are not involved. And one of the tragedies of our society, one of the things that you find if you read the papers and so on, is how many people, how many young people find themselves taking overdoses, find themselves even committing suicide, because they do not believe that there is anyone in the world who really thinks very much about them, about who they are, about why they matter, about where they're going. Now, as I say, I hope and pray that that is not true of you. But we have to face the fact that we live in a world where that is increasingly true of more and more people. Social mobility, family breakdown, you name it, there may be all kinds of reasons to explain it. But the reality is that more and more people that we live with, that we work with, that we know, are in this terrible position, that they really do not believe that there is anybody out there who cares about them. And because this is the case, because we live in this kind of world, I think it's more important than ever before that we turn back to the scriptures and read what they have to say about this particular subject. And I think that you can go nowhere better than the first chapter of Jeremiah, which we just read together a few minutes ago, and I would hope that you could go back and look at that more carefully yourselves later on, because you'll find there that Jeremiah was spoken to by God. God came into his life, and what did he say to Jeremiah? He said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even thought of by anyone on earth, I had prepared you. I was working so that you would be a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "Lord, I'm young. I don't know anything. I don't know anybody. I've never done anything. I'm hopeless. I can't do it." And God says, "No, you are not. You are going to go and you are going to be my witness. You are going to be a prophet to the nations because I am preparing you for this." Now, when we look at this, when we consider what God is saying to this great man of so long ago, we realize that one of the things that Jeremiah is saying, one of the things that is coming across to us today, is that what was true of him is true of every single one of us. You see, you may find it hard to think of how many people there are in the world who care about you, but in the end, it doesn't really matter all that much, because the person who really cares more than anyone else ever can is God. God has chosen you. God has formed you. Before you were known, before you were understood, before anybody ever thought about you, he knew who you would be. He knew what you would be. Everything about you, everything in you, everything that you do is something which he understood from the beginning. You are a creation of the Lord of the universe. Now that's a pretty scary thought. It's scary because it means that every single thing you do, every single thing you think, every single thing that goes on inside you that may be too deep for you to fully understand, is something which God has given, is something which God has put there, it's something which God has placed in you for a purpose. There are things in you that you don't want other people to know. There are thoughts which go through your mind that you're very glad nobody else realizes. There may be times in your life when you wonder what on earth is going on. There may be challenges that you face. Perhaps you failed an exam or something like that. Perhaps you haven't got into the team that you were going for or something like that. And you wonder to yourself, why is this the case? Why has this not worked out? Why has this not happened? And it's at times like this that you need to go back into your life and you need to say, I have been made by God. I am a child of God. God has made me like this, and he's given me the things that I have for a purpose which is known to him and which he will reveal to me as I ask him to guide me each step of the way. And it's because we know this, it's because we have this assurance as Christians that we can walk through this life, that we can face the challenges of this life, that we can walk into the unknown very often, unknown to us, because we know that the one who cares about me, the one who cares about what I am doing, the one who cares about who I am and what he has given me, is leading me the next step of the way. That I don't see where I'm headed, I don't know what I'm doing, I can't tell what's going to happen tomorrow, but he knows. Now, many of you I know are in a crisis time in your life. You don't know what you're going to do next. You don't know what you'll do when you've graduated. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what life holds in store for you. Well, let me tell you a little secret. I don't really know that either. You know, I don't think anybody gets to the stage in life where they can honestly say that they know what tomorrow will bring. You see, I don't know. I mean, I might get up tomorrow and suddenly break something as I get out of bed. You know, that happens when you get into middle age. And then I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. That's very possible. You see, I can't tell what's going to happen. It may not happen. I hope and pray that it won't. But I can't say for sure. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. You see, you don't either. No, none of us can be certain where we are going to be in a day's time, a month's time, a year's time. We just don't know. But God knows. You see, God knows because He has made you who you are, and God knows that you will do what He wants you to do. You will be put in the place where you can be the kind of person that He wants you to be. And I know for myself, and I can say with confidence to you, that this will be the case. I don't know the details. Don't ask me, I don't know. But I know that the God who has chosen me, the God who has made me, the God who has given me what I have, will look after me, and that at the end of the day, I will go to be with Him in eternity, and that's really all that matters. You see, one of the nice things about getting older is that the older you get, the more focused you get on eternity. The more you realize that that is the purpose of living this life. This life is a preparation for the life to come. This life is a plan, if you like, working out for your eternal destiny. Now, today we're here to commemorate Martin Luther and the Reformation, and you may wonder what on earth this has to do with him. Actually, it's very central. Because Martin Luther and those who followed him came to understand that God cared about them. See, Luther had a very strange experience as a young man. He fell from his horse. He was very nearly killed. It shook him up so much that he went into a monastery. And he spent many years in the monastery trying to get close to God, trying to please God, wondering whether there was anything he could do which would guarantee that God would look with favor on him. And Luther, as time went on, became more and more aware of just how unworthy he was of God's attention. More and more concerned with the fact that God could not possibly care about him because he was such a wicked person. He was such a sinner. You see, there were so many things in his life that God could not forgive. And you know, I'll tell you a little secret. There are people out there, you wouldn't believe how many there are, who deep down inside think, I've done something in my life that God will never forgive. And they go around with this burden. They go around weighed down with this because secretly inside they think they're not good enough for God. And you know, they're right in a way. None of us is good enough for God. And Martin Luther was not lying to himself when he said that, when he thought that. That wasn't the problem. You see, Martin Luther understood perfectly well that he had no right to get to heaven. The problem was that he was trying to do it. He was trying to work, to beat himself, to go through all the motions that he could, desperately seeking a way to curry favor with the Lord. And it was not until God spoke to him, and God revealed himself to Martin Luther. And God said to Martin Luther, look, Martin, you don't have to do this. I don't want you to kill yourself for the sake of getting into the kingdom of heaven, because I have sent my son into the world to die for you. He has died to take on himself the burden which you are trying to deal with in your life. You don't have to do it for yourself. You can't do it for yourself. What you have to do is trust him and understand that he has done it for you, and that you can come into my presence. You can stand before me. You can live with me in eternity, not because of what you have done, but because of what I have done for you. Now, why have I done it for you, says God? Why should I bother? I have done it for you because I care about you. I made you. I appointed you. I wanted this for you. And I have done for you what you cannot do for yourself. I want you to be with me in eternity. And when Martin Luther understood that, it just blew him away. You see, all of a sudden, everything which he'd tried to do, everything which he had thought all through his life, just cracked up, because he understood that that was not the right way to go. He realized that if he believed, that if he trusted, that if he had a relationship with God in Christ, then that would be put right. And this relationship was not based on the achievements or the labors or anything else which he had put in. It was based ultimately on love. Not his love for God, but God's love for him. Because what Luther found out, and what I hope and pray you know for yourselves, is that God cared about him. God cared about him so much that he sent his son to die for him. God cares about you, and God cares about me. This is why Jesus Christ has come. This is why the Son of God went to his death on the cross. This is what it means to be a believer. You can put your hand in the hand of God, and you can know that whatever tomorrow brings, whatever happens to you in your life, you are his child. And if you are his child, he is not going to let you go. He is going to keep hold of you. He is going to rescue you. He is going to pick you up when you fall down. He's going to bring you back when you run away. And don't tell me you won't run away, because you will. You'll try running away and you won't get away with it. God will come into your life and he'll pull you back, and he will keep you, and he will guide you, and he will protect you. And one day he will take you to be with him in eternity. That's the most wonderful thing that any of us can ever have in our lives. Knowing that he cares about you. Knowing that he cares about me. Do I matter to God? I matter to God because God came into this world to die for me, to make it possible for me to be the person that he wanted me to be from the very beginning. And I hope and pray that you know that, and that you put that in your life, and that that will guide you and keep you in the days ahead. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we have had together this morning. And Lord, I pray that in all that we do, that you would help us, that you would guide us, that you would show us your Son, Jesus Christ, at work in our lives. Lord, thank you that you do, in fact, care about us. And I pray that this day you would show us afresh the ways in which you look after us, the ways in which you keep us, the ways in which you guide us along the paths which you have pointed out and chosen for us. And Lord, I ask that you would give us a fresh experience of your love and of your grace, that we might come to know Jesus Christ more fully, that we might be like him in everything that we do, and that we might look forward to that day when you say to us, come into my presence forever, for there is a place prepared for you in heaven. And so I pray today that we may go out of this place knowing that we are walking with you and that you will keep us safe and keep us as bright lights and witnesses for your glory. For Jesus' name's sake we ask it. Amen. Thank you.